If you do not realize it. And so hopefully by the end of this service, we want to bring an awareness of, you know, what's going on throughout the world, but maybe also a call to mission. Yeah, and maybe the Lord would speak to your heart this morning regarding missions and regarding just the global church, because we are made up of many bodies, many members of the body. One body, many members. Amen. And so we have brothers and sisters throughout the world who risk it all, basically, to assemble or to be a Christian. And we just want to be grateful for the privileges and the freedoms that we do have. So just to kind of recap what we talked about so far in this series, we talked about sowing seed and how we are to be mindful or sow seeds into the lives of those around us. The Lord has done something in your life. You have a testimony that is unique, is different than my testimony. You are able to reach people that I am not able to reach. And we are to sow those seeds of the gospel. And we also learn about the ground, how there are four types of grounds. There's the hardened heart, there's the shallow heart, the worldly heart, and the fruitful heart. And we can't necessarily change the ground in anybody else, but as for us, that we would have a heart that is receptive to receiving the word of God, to receiving that seed, so that it may produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. Amen. And then last week, Brother Jeremy brought the word, and we talked about laboring for the harvest. We must have a healthy view of salvation in order to labor for the harvest. If you do not know how good God is, and if you do not know what you have been saved from and what you have been called to, you would not engage in the work of laboring for the harvest. But if you do know the goodness of God, if you have tasted of his goodness, if you have been radically changed by Jesus Christ, then there is something burning on the inside of you. There's a passion to tell others about Jesus so that they too will receive him as their Lord and Savior. We're to have eyes to see. You know, that's one of the first steps. If you're not looking at the hurt and those around you, you're not going to be moved with compassion. But if you are, if you're looking, saying, God, give me the opportunity. Help me to see the way that you see people. And he will give you those opportunities to be the hands and be the feet of Christ. And then after doing so, we must learn to commit our time to the harvest, laboring for the harvest. And we must eventually maintain our hearts, make sure that we are constantly in tune with what the Spirit is saying. So today we want to talk about being a part of the global harvest. It just sounds good, right? Like to be a part of something bigger than yourself, to be a part of something bigger than Houma, Louisiana, to be a part of something bigger than the United States. We're a part of the global church. And I want to begin with a scripture. I would maybe consider this a theme verse for the series. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" So a couple of things about this scripture is that, first of all, prayer is very powerful. You know, we forget how powerful prayer is. We forget that we have access to God who spoke planets into existence. Have you spoken a planet into existence lately? No, I don't think so. But God did. And we have access to our Heavenly Father who speaks planets into existence. And he tells us not only to pray, but pray that the Lord would send the laborers. And so this is instruction from Jesus that there are to be laborers for his harvest. And that's the other thing about this, the Lord's harvest, the Lord's harvest. In other words, his harvest covers the entire earth, right? His harvest is the entire globe. In Matthew 24, verse 14, whenever his disciples are asking Jesus, give us some signs of the end time. When will we know that the end is drawing near? Jesus tells them, he says, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. And I want you to know today that we are living in the age, in the technological age, in which that is possible. You know, pretty much everybody in the world has a cellular device. In fact, about 70% of this world population has access to cell phones. And so we are living in the age in which it is possible to bring the gospel to the ends of the world. It is possible that every single person can be reached in this lifetime. And that is an alarming thought that we ought to have. But first, let's talk about a few things. The gospel, what is the gospel? The gospel is the fact that Jesus, he came to this earth, he died on the cross. He bore upon his back and his body our sins, that and he paid the price that we deserved for our sins so that we could be forgiven. You know what? He didn't stay dead. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day so that those who believe and those who repent and confess Jesus as Lord, that they would be saved. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is the gospel that we are to proclaim throughout this earth. Now, why do you suppose the end will not come until the gospel is preached to the ends of the world? Let me just stop and say that God is a compassionate God, and that God is a loving God. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness." You know, many believers, even in Paul's day, thought that the Lord was coming soon. And here we are, 2,000 years removed, and we're still believing, and we are still awaiting that glorious day whenever Jesus comes. But Peter says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And so this is the heart of God, that all would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so God has extended this time. He has given us this gracious time where we can come and we can repent and we can be saved. And so, because he is merciful. How many guys are glad that God waited so that you were saved? So that you heard the gospel, so that you, not only upon hearing the gospel, that you would believe the gospel and that you became saved, and that you might spend eternity with him forever and ever. I am glad that the Lord tarried, amen, and that he didn't come in my rebellious state whenever I was rebelling against the Lord, that he didn't come during that time because I was not ready. But thank God for his grace, and thank God for his mercy. And there's this season right now where his mercy and grace extends. And he's saying, look, I'm praying. I want you guys to be mindful that there is a harvest, but there needs to be some laborers. There needs some people on the workforce, all right? There needs to be some people who are about the kingdom's business. Amen. And so I mentioned earlier, just a little fun fact, that about 70% of the world's population use a mobile phone. And now that's including, you know, the smartphones, but it's also including the dumb phones, all right? So that's both, the smart and the dumb phones. About 70% of the world, if you put that to a number, that's about 5.75 billion people on this planet that have access to a cell phone. You know, it's so crazy. I've been into some pretty poor countries, and you would think, man, this is a remote part of the world. And then all of a sudden, people are like, the natives are like pulling out the cell phones. I'm like, what? Like, what in the world? How did you get that? They have access, you know, to cellular devices. They might not have anything to eat, but they have cell phone access. But we say this because we are living in the information age. We are living in the age in which it is possible that every person living on this planet, you know, can have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this was prophesied way back when. You think about the prophet Daniel. And Daniel makes this claim in Daniel 12, verse 4. He says, "There will be this time when many shall run to and fro." And just think about that for a moment and how we have access to, you know, you can jump on a plane and you can fly all the way around the world if you so desire to. We can go to, we can go fro. We can go here, we can go there. We can go there, we can go here. We live in this time where we are going to and fro. You jump in your car, you go to the store, you come right back. We are living in this time. And then it says that also there will be this time where knowledge shall increase. I mean, we live in the most technological advanced era that there has been on the face of this planet. Amen. And so we live in a time in which the gospel can be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. But unfortunately, there's still a great number of people that needs to come to Christ. Amen. So it is said that only right now, only about 2.3 billion people are Christians. Now, that sounds like a big number. That's a lot of people. I mean, can you count to a billion? I cannot, because I get bored. You know, I'm like, I get past, you know, maybe 2,000. I'm like, all right, let's do something else. 2.4 billion Christians in the world, but that's only about 28 to 31% of the world. I have this little pie chart if we can kind of put this in perspective. So in the blue, the dark blue, this is Christianity in the global, you know, in the global world. But then you have all these other religions. You have Islam, and it's pretty close to Christianity, if you would see. You see Hinduism, which is coming up close. And then you have atheists, those who do not believe in God. You have Buddhists and others. Only 33% of the world are believers. And so this is a huge problem, right? If Christ is not coming back until the gospel is preached to all the earth, until the ends of the earth, then we have our job to do, right? We need to be mission-minded. We need to be about the kingdom's business. And I'll read the scripture that I read a couple of weeks ago in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." He is not he doesn't limit it to one people group. Everyone. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter where you came from. He says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And then he goes on to say, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of Jesus Christ." And so there is this sending out. And you might say, well, I'm not going to preach because I wasn't sent. Instead of saying that, say, "Lord, send me. Send me. I am willing. I am your hands. I am your feet. I'm your voice. I want to lead others to Jesus. I want to tell other people about you. Lord, send me. I am yours." And so there has to be this sending out. There has to be this preaching of the word. And not saying you stand at the corner of the street and you're going to help. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying like in a loving way that you tell people about the gospel. Tell people what Jesus has done in your life. You know, there has to be this telling. There has to be a point in which we open up our mouths so that they can hear the gospel. Remember whenever you first got saved, you heard the words of Christ. You heard those scriptures come alive. And it was God's goodness that drew you in and brought you to repentance. So there has to be this hearing so that they can believe, so that they can call upon Jesus, and so that they can be saved. You know what? There is some positive news about all of this. Christianity is growing. It is growing faster, actually, than the global population. And so, in other words, there are more people coming to Christ than there are people being born. So that's exciting. That's a good thing if we were to consider, you know, some of the things going on in the world today. But as we can see, if there's 8.142 billion people in the world and only 2.4 people are saved, there's at least 5 billion people who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And to put it into further terms, they will not spend an eternity with God. They will spend an eternity separated from God, 5-something billion people on this earth. So why should we be concerned about what happens around the globe? You might be asking, like, why can't I just, like, come to church and just have it easy? You know, just think about my own little bubble, my own little family, my own little church family. Why do I have to be so concerned about missions, you know, what people are doing on the other side of the world? And I want to just kind of tag along with what Jeremy spoke about because I thought that was such a good point. Transformation is necessary for mission. The whole thing about it is a heart check. It's a heart check. If that's your attitude, like, why should I be concerned about what's going on in other parts of the world, then your heart's not in the right place. You might have to look at yourself and say, you know what? I might not have the heart of Christ. If Christ was so passionate about the lost and so passionate about going and gathering those who are not in his flock into his flock, we must ask ourselves, oh, do we have the heart of Christ? Does our heart bleed like his bleed? Do we value what he values? Do we treasure what he treasures? Mainly the salvation of other people. Matthew 6:19 to 21 is a good heart check for us this morning. where he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is there will your heart be also. And you can easily tell where your treasure is if you go look at your bank statement. Where's all, you know, and where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. So do you treasure the things of God? Do you treasure his kingdom? Do you treasure furthering his kingdom and furthering his gospel? Let's hear it from the mouth of Jesus himself where he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not in this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And so there will be one flock, one shepherd. Amen. So you see in this global picture this morning where God, even Jesus, when he walked this earth, he says, look, there are people who are outside right now who I want them to come inside. I want them to be a part of my flock. And we know that he was talking about the Gentiles. That's us. Because he was a Jew, and he was in a Jewish culture, and they believed that they were God's people. But he said, look, there are people who are outside right now, and they are needing to come inside into this flock. And Jesus was passionate about the Gentiles. We can all say, thank you, Jesus, because ain't none of us can trace our ancestry all the way back to Abraham, right? Well, maybe some of you, but, you know, we were the ones that Jesus was thinking about. We were the ones. Whenever he said, there's others that need to come into my flock so that I can be their shepherd, and there will be one flock. If we put it another way, there will be one church. There's one church, amen. There may be multiple local churches throughout this world, but there is one church, one global church. Whenever we get to heaven, whenever we are before the throne of God, we're going to look around and we're going to see a sea of people with so many different faces and so many different cultures and languages worshiping around the throne of the living God, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And so it's one church, one body, one Lord, one shepherd, one faith, one baptism, one Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, he says that he is the good shepherd and that there are others that he needs to bring in to this flock. And so do we treasure what he treasures? Do we value what he values? Do we care about what Jesus cares about? Next thing is that everyone is a missionary. You may have never thought about yourself as a missionary, but you are a missionary. The Lord has put you on mission. Now, you might not ever go to a foreign soil and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, but nonetheless, you are a missionary. And there used to be a song from a Tourniquet. I used to listen to, you know, Christian rock. And anyway, they had a song that says, you might not ever go to China, but would you be willing to cross the street, you know, for a neighbor? And really, so you are a missionary, whether it's to those who are abroad are to those who are right across the street from you. Or maybe it's a coworker that you are sent to. Maybe it's a fellow student that you are in class with. Nonetheless, you are a missionary. And what that means is you don't have to have a master's in theology to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. No. Jesus used some fishermen. He told him, he said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Do you have a heart for Jesus? Do you have a passion for the things of God? Then guess what? That qualifies you as a missionary. That qualifies you as a voice. That qualifies you as a person who is able to share what the Lord has done in your life into someone else's life so that they too can come and taste and see that the Lord is good. You are a missionary. Amen. Now, when we think about the global harvest, there's so many different aspects to this idea of being a missionary. We had our friends Charlie and Tina Sange who gave up their life and the comforts here in the United States to go and live decades, I'm talking about decades in Mexico, just pouring out their heart and their soul into the people in Mexico and starting churches and planting churches and setting up pastors and all these different things. They laid down their lives to do this. And there are still people who are out there who are on the mission field. And maybe the Lord would call you to the mission field in that capacity where he would call you to leave everything and follow him. And that's a hard thing to consider, but would you be willing to do it? Would you be willing to say, yes, Lord, that's me. Yes, Lord, send me, and I'll go. That's a hard calling, but we know that he answered that call. Brother Charlie and his wife and his family, they answered that call of missions, and they were so faithful for what, nearly 40 years it was. That's incredible. So there's that aspect. Then there's the missionaries who go to really difficult places. Places like North Korea, places like China, places like India, where it's nearly impossible to be a Christian in these areas. They don't have the freedoms that we have. They risk their lives. They risk the lives of their families if people find out that they are Christian. For believing in Christ, for owning a Bible, they are persecuted. They are brothers in Christ. And so, but there are people actively bringing Bibles into such places. And they are so creative in their ways that they bring them. Sometimes they would have hot air balloons, and they would fly them from South Korea into North Korea. Or they would bring in, like, these unmarked container boxes and ship them in, and just to bring Bibles to have access to the Christians who were there, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ living in those areas. Then you have people, the pastors, who were risking it all, leading a flock into those places, into those hard-reached places. And they risk being dragged away and being thrown in prison and put in jail, having their families and everything just taken away from them. They risk not being able to get work, not being able to have a job and all these different things because they are Christians. They risk, you know, in China, there's even this, what they do is they set up these facial recognition cameras, like right by churches, so that they can identify people who are going to that church. And you also, like if you were a child, you're trained from a very young age even to turn in even your parents if they are Christians. And so when we think about this and we think about the freedoms that we have in the United States, it's like, man, it doesn't even compare. Like the persecution that we face here in the States might be like, oh, you're a Christian? They might laugh at you. They might make fun of you. They may, you know, mock you on Facebook. They might, you know, it's petty in comparison to what people are facing around the world. So petty. But yet we have all the freedom. We have all the resources. I mean, we can jump on our Bible app and have access to the Bible, where in other countries they still can't even access a Bible. They risk it all. And we could just, like, pull out our phone and just jump on the Bible. So we have all the resources. We have all the freedoms. But what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? Whereas people in other countries, they boldly proclaim their faith, even though they know that it might cost them their life. It might cost them the lives of their family, but they still boldly proclaim the name of Jesus. Why? Because they take this mission seriously. They take this global mission, this calling that Jesus has for all believers, where he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. They take that mission seriously. Whereas often in the United States, maybe we don't take it as seriously. We think about our comfort. We think about our ease. You know, we want an easy life. We just want a comfortable life. I just want to come to church. I just want to hear a good message. I just want to get a good feel good. And we lose track and we lose sight of what God has called us to be in this earth. He didn't call us just to be pew warmers. He didn't call us just to come and to have a feel good. He called us to be warriors for the kingdom of God. He called us to be missionaries. He called us to fight the good fight of faith. And often it looks so different than what we visualize when we come to Christ. So there's people who are smuggling Bibles where it's restricted to do so. There are disaster programs like Samaritan's Purse, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what they do. There are so many different ways that you can be a part and help out in the global church. Amen. Because what we have to consider, what we must realize, is that they are our brothers and they are our sisters in Christ Jesus. The common bond that we have is Jesus Christ. He is our Heavenly Father. Amen. So we all have one Father. We have one Lord. We have one faith, one baptism. They are a part of us. And so whenever they hurt, we should hurt. Whenever they are suffering, we should help with their suffering, at least pray for them. And so you may be thinking, I'm just a person on the east side of Houma. How in the world can I possibly impact the world? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked, because that's the beginning. If you have that question, if you say, God, how can you use me to impact the global church, then you're asking the right questions. Because God can use you. You know, you might not have all the resources available to you, but guess who does? God. He is not limited on resources. If he calls you to do something, then guess what? He also will provide the resources for you to be able to do it. I have seen this over and over in my life, this calling to a pastor at his church, and many times we're looking at it like, God, I don't see it. I don't know how we're going to make it. And then he makes a way again and again and again because he is faithful. Amen? And he will not leave you nor forsake you. And so don't worry about the how. Just worry about your heart, your heart issue, and say, God, I am willing. Here is my yes. I say yes to you. So how can you impact the global church? I would say one of the greatest things that we can do for the global church is to pray. Prayer is so powerful. How often do you think about your brothers and sisters around the world? Maybe you never thought about them before. But from this moment on, that you would begin to add them to your prayer list. And I have, on this altar right here, I have 10 different countries, and there are so many more. If you go to the Voice of the Martyrs website, you can find something that looks like this. And pretty much every country that is going through, that's difficult to preach the gospel, they are mentioned here. Here's an example. This is North Korea. And so it kind of tells you what's going on in North Korea, an overview. I'm just going to read it so you get an idea. North Korea was once a thriving center of Christian worship. The capital was known as the Jerusalem of the East. In the early 1900s, because of its 2,000-plus churches, but decades of rule by oppressive regime currently led by Kim Jong-un has forced Christians to worship in underground settings. The communist-inspired dictatorship is founded upon Juche, a distinctly Korean religious ideology that requires worship and the subservience of Kim family. In other words, they make Kim their god. And it says, Christianity is considered subservient and is brutally opposed. Anyone discovered to be a Christian or to have expressed any interest in Christ or the Bible is considered an enemy of the state. The gospel is still proclaimed in North Korea through various creative means, including shortwave radio and bold evangelists who risk their lives smuggling Bibles and discipling those in that country. And then there's a way to pray for them. There's like five different ways you can pray for them. You can pray for wisdom, and you can pray for certain individuals who are going through different things. So I encourage you, we have about 60 of these available, and that you would pick up one of these prayer sheets, and that for the remaining part of November, every single day that you would commit to pray for this country. Amen. That's easy. Can you do that? That's an easy thing to do, right? That we can begin as a local body, Hope Community Church, making a difference around the world by praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So I encourage you to pick up one of these sheets. And if maybe you're like, well, I accept that challenge, but maybe you would want to even further that. Again, you could go to Voice of the Martyrs, and there are so many different ways that you can get involved in that website. Maybe you grab one a month and you take one every month and you begin to pray for a different country every single month. And you begin to learn, you educate yourself about what they are going through and what it means to be a Christian in those areas so that you can have compassion, so that you can be like Christ, so that you begin to pray and reach out and extend the hands of Christ to your fellow brothers and sisters. Maybe you're in a place where you're able to make a financial contribution. And this can be so helpful in those organizations. It can bring medical care in some instances. It can bring food and just help those who are persecuted. And the three that I would recommend was Samaritan's Purse, which they do an outstanding job. They're everywhere, always, it seems. There's Convoy of Hope, but there's also Voice of the Martyrs. There's so many different organizations who are already doing it, who are already being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And so you can learn to be a part of those organizations and see what is your part to play. So maybe you're able to make a financial contribution. I mean, without funds, they're not able to provide food. They're not able to buy Bibles. They're not able to travel to those places and make those necessary friendships so where they have trust. And so all this takes money. It takes resources. And then maybe you would consider even engaging in some sort of way. Maybe Samaritan's Purse, also you can do missions with them. Like I know that we're not able to go on mission trips right now as Hope Community, but it doesn't mean there are not other opportunities out there. You can do a mission trip with Samaritan's Purse. You can actually do mission trips with King's Castle Ministries. There are opportunities out there if you're wanting to engage hands-on, face-to-face with people who are just going through difficult times. And it will change you. It will break you. I remember my first mission trip, it was to Honduras. And just to see how other people lived in other countries in parts of the world, it will break you to realize, wow, we really have it blessed. We really have it good here in the United States. You know how we took showers in Honduras? You grabbed the bowl, you dipped it in a bucket, and you poured it over your head. It was freezing. It was freezing, right? It was mountain water, but that's how you took a shower in Honduras. Didn't have running hot water. Just something basic as that. Many people don't have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's our job to engage in this global mission, this global harvest of going therefore. I want to read something. I mentioned earlier that there will be many faces whenever we get to heaven. But I just want you to hear it from the scriptures where it says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 10. And this is John, and he has a revelation, and he has this revelation of heaven, and he says he looks around, and behold, there's a great multitude. This is the believers. He says, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes, all peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes because their sins are forgiven and they are with Christ. They are pure, they are white. It says they have palm branches in their hands and they cry out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This is what we are aiming for. Think about that, how awesome and incredible that's going to be. People from every language and tongue proclaiming the goodness of our God. Dressed in white, waving palm branches and singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. Therefore, as a body of believers, we ought to be mindful of the global harvest. Amen. And so I petition you to begin to pray and ask God, what is your part to play? How can you make a difference? Maybe you just start off with prayer. That's always good. You start off with prayer and say, God, use me in whatever way that you want to use me. I am yours. Maybe you have to even step back beyond that and say, God, change my heart because I don't even want to do missions. Change my heart because I'm not even burdened about other people around the world. Change my heart so that my heart aligns with your heart. Change my heart because I've been so selfish and I just think about me. I just think about my comforts and what I want. I don't care about what anybody else wants. Change me. Change me. Change my heart. Burden me with your mission. Maybe that's where you begin this morning. You know, we've done these boxes, and Samaritan's Purse, they do such a great job of everything, really. If you don't know what these boxes are for, this is not just a box. Inside these boxes, we have asked all of you to be a part, to buy toys for kids that, you know, at the age-appropriate level, and to put it in the box and to bring the box to the church. And what happens to these boxes is that we take these boxes and bring it back to Samaritan's Purse. Samaritan's Purse then takes these boxes and brings it to remote villages, to kids who do not have Christmas presents, to kids who open up and they never got a gift, but they open up this box and you see their faces just light up with joy. And it is an opportunity to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to these remote villages and these kids. This is more than a box. This is a way of connecting to other people around the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the greatest thing that they can have, is Jesus. To know Jesus as our Lord and Savior is the greatest thing that we can ever possess in this life. Thank you all who have taken a box, taken of your time. I seen the Smith family. She had her whole entire, all of her kids, her whole family, and they brought that box up saying, look, we're doing this as a family. I'm teaching my kids how to be generous. I'm teaching my kids to care about missions. I'm teaching my kids to care about others. Maybe you take a prayer sheet this you know, after we're done, and you begin to pray for these people. Educate yourself about what's going on in the global church. You have a part to play. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards us. We thank you, Lord, that the gospel came to us. William Tyndale was burned at the stake so that the Bible could be translated in English. It was because of his sacrifice that we're able to read the Bible in English. Many men and women have risked their lives for the cause of Christ. I pray, first of all, I pray for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted right now. Those who are being dragged away from churches, those who are being probably shot on the spot. We pray for their families. Strengthen them, O Lord. Help them, Lord, to hold on to the faith. Lord, to stand firm, to stand fast, regardless of what they face in this life. Lord, we know that this life is but a breath. We are here today and gone tomorrow. But what will matter is the treasures that we make in heaven. Lord, that we would put our treasures and we would value the things that you value. We would place our treasures in heaven by caring for the lost, by caring and bringing the word of God, sowing the seed as you've instructed us to do, believing that you will bring about the harvest, oh God. So, Lord, we're just willing. We're willing, Lord, to be used by you in whatever way that you would see fit to do so. So burden our hearts today. I pray that you would speak to each and every person. God, what is their part to play? And help us, Lord, just to have the heart of Christ, to be mindful of those around us, those in this world who do not have even access to a Bible. Lord, we as Americans, God, we just want to thank you. We thank you for our freedoms. We thank you for our religious liberties. Thank you for this, the ability to come here to assemble together, to worship freely, to proclaim your gospel freely. Help us, O Lord. be serious about this great commission, to be serious about the global harvest. Let it ever be before us. Lord, don't let us forget about it a week from now or a month from now. But Lord, it will constantly be before us, our duty and our job to our fellow brothers and sisters around the world. We thank you, oh God, for the gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, that for the change you have brought about in our lives. Lord, we just want to see that take place in the lives of others as well. So, Lord, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory in this place today. And let your name be exalted above all things, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Could you stand to your feet before you leave? Could you have everyone in the room just stand to their feet and extend your hands to this stage? We want to pray over the boxes this morning. They're going all over that those boxes would go to the exact individual. So let's just pray together, Lord. We specifically.